Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The best story of the day in sports is Kyle Lauletta. Kyle Lauletta, who was poised to be perhaps the starting quarterback for the New York football Giants. And all he really had to do yesterday was make it into practice.
Right, make a left turn.
And he got himself a rest.
Two laps to right, left, egg salad sandwich.
And he got himself a rest.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street. It's a beautiful morning. It's going to be 75 degrees today. Boy, if I didn't have to work, I would play golf. I certainly hope Michael Kornheiser goes out to play golf today. That would be a smart thing to do. I wanted to talk about Halloween for a little bit. We're going to talk about Maryland, obviously. Gary Braun is here. Chris Eliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's going to run the board, do the news, produce the show. Nice crowd. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, yeah. That's well done.
Because we're not here tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. I did get a letter. The letter reads, "Dear Dr. Tony, I've wanted to send these in for some time now. I'm driving across the country to a new office and figured now is as good a time as ever. Nigel gets first dibs because he's a Sox fan and a Buckeye fan. Thanks for all the hours of entertainment. I'll send more coins for my new office when I get there. La Cheeserie. P.S. Don't read my name on the air as I've omitted it on purpose." And what was sent to us? Three coins.
Three coins from the field, the Boston field office for the your Federal Bureau of Investigation.
So and now he can leave because Whitey Bulger is gone.
Right. Safe now.
Of the departed now.
And my understanding is that if you get in any trouble with the law, you just
drop it.
You give them this coin and then you can go home.
Get out of jail free card.
Well, that's fantastic.
All right. Do I not like Halloween? It's not that I don't like Halloween. We were very lucky last night at our house. All of the action was blocks away. And when I say all of the action.
Concert?
When I say all of the action, well, there's one moron who had, you know, an open pit.
Yeah, do the fire pit.
Yeah, and everybody come on over.
Around his house today, there's just nothing but garbage strewn all over the place.
Serves
him
right.
Here's what I'm going to get to. Here's what I don't like about Halloween. I don't like the next morning of Halloween because you're taking your dog out for a walk. And on the street are all sorts of things that when the dog eats the dog gets sick, vomits in your house, poops all over your house, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you got to keep a dog on a really tight leash, and you got to have a flashlight.
And have rice ready.
Have rice ready in the house to bind up the dog. Yes. So that's what I don't like about it. We were, as I say, very, very lucky. We didn't have 15 kids last night.
What'd you give out?
Snickers, M&Ms. We didn't even get to the Twix.
What'd you have for allergy Yorks? Kids?
We didn't have anything for allergy kids. I'm sorry.
Monster.
We didn't have. Yeah, we were not prepared for a politically correct Halloween.
My kid would have gone hungry, or he would have gone to the hospital.
We were not.
Thanks, Tone.
But what I would have said is,
either be fine.
If somebody said, "I have a peanut allergy and can't go near any of these things," I would have given him a waiver to sign in five bucks.
Yeah. Just take this $20 bill.
Get out of here. But across the large street, hundreds. We have people in the neighborhood, and you've seen this. Who there's this one woman down on the corner of Nebraska who decorates, it's like a second-rate Nancy Bubis house. There's a million things in the yard and floating above the house, and everybody wants to go
there. Fun decoration or scary decoration?
Scary, and you know what? You know, vaya con Dios on that. I think we got very, very lucky last night. You live in an area where you have a lot of kids.
We have a lot of kids, but our neighborhood is...
Bad restaurant night, too. I came into Chatter last night around 6:15.
Boy, we were empty.
We couldn't move any of that spiked cider?
Well, we had it. Ron was outside, dressed, by the way, in a tutu, which I thought was very tall.
Fitting.
We had a tent and we had stuff, but it's just not... We're in a commercial area.
Yeah.
And although people live in the adjoining neighborhood... They're not coming to Wisconsin Avenue. So we, you know, bad night. Happens.
So ours is the kids don't like to trick or treat in our neighborhood.
Thursday night football tonight.
Yes, that's right.
Why?
It's just they're you know, I live on like a couple acres. So it's like you got to move around too much.
It's called a mansion.
They're not very efficient.
They're lazy. So we actually went to sort of three separate neighborhoods. Kim and I had our friend Chief Grey Goose, who you've met. He's been to the podcast a couple of times, has a Halloween night party. So we went there, and we actually this is lame, but we just shut it down, turned out all the lights, and we're sort of at the end of a cul-de-sac. I mean, you'd almost have to be lost to come to this.
Right.
And just hope that the house would still be there when we returned.
On my street,
we survived.
More than half the houses were shut. There were no lights. I mean, and people were kind about that. I turned off 9 o'clock was it for me. I turned off the light.
It's not still going at 9.
Well, you know, we're still up the street.
I told Mike, I get angry when the lights are out.
So what do you instruct your children
on the door? I tell my kids to go up there and knock on the door. They're hard. Home. Hard.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm like, there's a light in there. You can't go out and buy $2.50 worth of candy.
No.
It makes me crazy. Halloween is a great night.
But it should end at some point.
Yeah, but if you have plans to be somewhere else.
Well,
I put a beware of dog sign and owner is armed sign on the front yard.
The people with the fire pits, you know, that are cooking outside.
We're not those people.
That's too much.
That's a tough,
Michael,
that's
how was Bootsy's second Halloween?
It was better than the first. So we actually did the parade at the local elementary school.
Right.
And maybe it's my age, but I finally feel like I've made it. I'm not quite a man, but as a homeowner, as a dad, I loved getting the pumpkins ready.
Yeah.
Someone left a pumpkin on our drive that they started to carve. I transformed it into a cutout of the DC flag. Bootsy went as the mouse from If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It was great. Yes. We let him hold a little jug of milk. I dressed up as the boy, so he had a fun time with that. But we have a very young neighborhood, so it's all before 7. And we're on the bad side, depending on how you look at it, the bad side of a busy street. So the highlight of my night is because we have a few embassies in the neighborhood, we had a group of about 20 international kids that probably came from an offshoot of the Chinese embassy. I don't think they'd ever been trick-or-treating before. And just seeing the reactions on their faces as they went up to get candy.
Even though there's a trade war.
Their parents were running deep on this. I'm probably all over social media handing out candy to these kids.
Chris can speak to this, I'm sure. Bootsy is too young, but maybe next year. But I remember vividly the first year that the light bulb went off for my kids, where they're like, wait a minute. I just walk up and say trick or treat, and people put handfuls of candy in my bag.
I remember my older son's face as he turned back to me, and he was like, hey, did you see what happened there? Like, yes. By the way, you know who had a good night last night? Not restaurant, but food-wise. So I'm like, I'll just cut out early. My wife's with them. I'll cut it early. I'll hand out some candy. I'll order us Domino's. You know, the kids, my kids don't have school today.
Private school.
Yeah, private. They barely go. So I go to order Domino's. I fire it up, order it. I'm like, just check on, you know, they have the pizza tracker. You can tell where your pizza is. I'm like, it's still being prepared. Then I look at the fine print of the email they have sent me to mark my letter. 135 minutes.
Seems
convenient.
For
over 2 hours.
You still have pizzas left over from that time that guy sent you?
Exactly. I saved some of those.
Taking the kids out for a while and walked around.
You had one costume.
I got a cape.
What was the cape?
You have the cape, I'm waiting to be gifted that cape.
Costume was...
How was that?
I saw it on Eric Rideholm's
Instagram.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Brilliant.
I was the mascot for the Flyers, and Wilbon claimed to be Joel Embiid.
Did
it
you
was
tote a tumbler of Johnny Walker Blue when you used to
did
walk
not.
Michael around?
No. Yeah. No, walked him around and just to make sure everybody was safe.
That's my biggest surprise. In the neighborhood, people have tapped kegs.
It's a rolling party.
That's what they do.
Now, I'm not overly familiar with the customs of your country. Is it only supposed to be candy that one gives out? Because I gave out baked ziti last night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. So
kids
love ziti.
Just
loose in the.
We always had the rule. My rule that one to a customer, not multiple. Don't stick your hand in.
One small piece per customer?
One candy, yep. And so now we have so much candy left over.
How many eggs would be on your house at the end of the night?
But you make sure that that everybody gets one. You make sure.
The fun sizes are now bigger than they were when I was a kid. They used to just be the little squares.
I would encourage my kids. My wife yelled at me because I told her, I was like, you know what Dad would do to those houses that were that were dark when he was a kid? Egg them.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, what are you doing?
What?
And my kids were like, you would throw eggs at them? I'm like, you're damn right I would.
I was one of the nicer things.
I'd defecate in a brown paper bag, light it on fire on the doorstep, and ring the doorbell.
That's don't put it out with your boots on, Ted.
One of the nicer things about Washington compared to Long Island was that there was a much greater level of politeness and civility about Halloween, and I've always been happy about that. Because when I was younger, we were mean. I don't want to bury the lead for too long. Maryland comes to its senses. They fire Durkin. The players had revolted, some, not all. I imagine on campus there was some reaction. Maryland doesn't strike me.
Well, students were planning a Justice for Jordan march at Saturday's game. I mean, it was.
They would have probably boycotted the game. Yeah. I don't consider Maryland an activist school, but maybe it is. Damon Evans, the AD, who should be fired himself, told Durkin he was fired. I can't imagine why Damon Evans is not fired. He should be fired today. Obviously, Wallace Lowe finally showed some guts because the thing he did the other day was totally gutless. He reversed his position and pretty much has dared the Board of Regents to fire him. Since he's announced he's leaving anyway, they probably won't. He also reversed that position, which said there'd be so much upheaval on the campus, as if anybody knows who he is. There would have been no upheaval on the campus if Wallace Lowe was fired. There might have been some upheaval with this thing with Durkin. Matt Canada will be the coach in name and in deed, although I don't think he'll be the coach next year. Maybe he will. Durkin needs rehab, right? Like maybe Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh, who had coached him before, hires him, gives him a few years. Maybe he goes to the NFL. No one is saying he's a bad coach. And I think that, honestly, I mean, if you take the actual ICBM missile that Sally dropped on him yesterday, the various missiles that Barry's Verlugas dropped on him, but not like, I mean, Sally killed not just him, Maryland. I mean, really destroyed Maryland. If you take this away, I mean, you probably have to go back and you say, you know what? Big time college football has these lunatic strength and conditioning coaches. And big time college football has an ethos that says you have to scare the kids. You have to treat them like they're Marines. And that's the way it works. Most schools are fortunate that they don't have people dying because they treat their athletes terribly in football. They really do. From the beginning of the summer on, they treat them very badly. They probably have better training staffs than Maryland had. They probably would have recognized because kids get heat stroke all the time.
Sure. Yep.
But they are saved because there's a very easy way to save them. You put them in ice water and they actually are. I've read it's 100% cure. 100%. And Maryland didn't do that. Do these people deserve to lose their jobs? 100% they deserve to lose their jobs. Was it intentional? Of course not. Of course not. Was it, they don't strive to kill the kid. You don't kill your labor force.
It wasn't murder.
No,
right.
It wasn't. But Durkin will bear this. I doubt he'll... Well, it'll be a very long time before he becomes a head coach. Any particular thoughts?
I would just say that unfortunately, I say unfortunately as a Maryland fan, the stain remains.
Your wife is a Maryland grad.
Yes, she is. And the stain remains. I mean, had they done the right thing and done this 40
quickly.
Hours ago.
Well, quickly even.
Then,
what are you doing?
Then there is a shot at, I guess, I mean, I don't want to say you forget. I mean, no one will forget what happened to Jordan McNair, but the stain would have left more quickly. And now it's like you have all the stain of having bungled
just
and
terrible.
He's gone. It's just,
you need to get rid of Wallace Lowe and he's helping you. He's telling you he will resign and he should. There should be no great outpouring of sympathy and say, now you can be the president till you're 85 years old. And they need to get rid of the AD. The AD is totally, totally complicit in this in the way that Durkin is.
I don't know how he
completely.
Has skated. The governor of Maryland yesterday.
Finally, Ben Jealous pushed him.
Issued a statement that essentially said, while I have no official power in this situation, this guy has to go. I mean, it's basically
he did say
what he
that,
said.
But I think the opposing candidate
definitely
pushed him to that position.
I shouldn't be surprised by this, given that I cover politicians every day, but the tone deafness of the Board of Regents.
Amazing.
Saying
Dignance.
Like, oh yeah, we'll just keep them.
That's
this. Fine.
We
that's fine. Hey guys, we got together in a room and we decided this is how it's going to work out. No one, if they asked a person on the street if they thought you could sell this, there's a 0% chance from the second it came out, we said on the show, we talked about it many times, Durkin has to go.
Has to go.
Yeah,
that's
well,
it.
They
I mean, it's just
I
that complicated.
I think they decided they were keeping him 4 or 5 months ago when they shelved him. But the longer he stayed on the shelf, the more apparent it became that, well, why keep him on the shelf unless you intend to?
And by the way, I don't think people should get angry that they're paying him out. I don't. It's not a cause situation. They paid out the strength and conditioning coach who they didn't have to pay out.
Yeah.
But give Durkin, do the right thing here.
I mean, you just can't be affiliated with the pro. I mean, like, you can't have that.
No.
I can't believe that you would come out with that ruling. And then obviously you have to change course.
Whoever is on the Board of Regents, and you'll be able to find out, you'll interview everybody on the Board of Regents, you find out who led the way, they're in a gots to go situation.
I mean, what are you doing? I mean,
Pat Forty crushed James Brady on his podcast. James Brady was shticking it up with one-liners at this thing.
Can't do that.
Yeah, and it was
not funny.
The effects of this will last for a long time. I know Gary's going to the game this Saturday. I would love to walk through the campus and just see the mood of the students, because I do think the experience on the campus for these kids during their undergraduate years, they are going to feel like they had a voice in this.
Yes.
And that's going to be very powerful for them, particularly as they try and move on from this period.
And you say Maryland's not an act. I mean, it may not be, but
they were in this case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were in this case, and they got...
Good for them.
I would not say what they got was justice, but it's closer to it. Than what was happening before.
They ultimately made sure they were heard.
And that's it. Just before you make this decision, if you're on a board, walk the campus. Ask five people.
Which apparently they did not do.
No,
I mean, Wasilo basically said, when I got back to campus and talked to people, I realized...
Wait a minute, this decision might not fly.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we'll get out of here. Bill Livingston will join us when we return. There's a lot of... Storm and Drong in the Cleveland area lately.
Did they fire the coach, the Cavaliers?
They fired the Browns coach and the Cavaliers coach, and somebody called up Terry Francona and said, stay inside. So we'll do that, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated with hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know who to trust, and that's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so that you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Chris has this. You've got the app, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've used it on more than one occasion. And I can attest to you, it is. I am not super tech. I mean, if you are the example of not tech savvy, I'm more tech savvy than that.
Right.
But I'm not super tech savvy, and it's very, very easy.
That's good.
And if you're a Falcons fan, you can get a lower bowl seat this Sunday
for the Redskins
for just over $100. And that's pretty good for the lower
bowl. That's great. That's very good. Best of all, if you listen to this show, you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. The SeatGeek app, you enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sean Paul from Omaha, Nebraska, and a couple of friends. Playing a rock band called Eric in Outer Space. That's a very cool name.
I like that name.
Eric in Outer Space. He writes, my dad got me hooked on the podcast years ago. Hi, Dad. Hoped I could repay you and the gang for the countless hours of entertainment with this song we wrote called Barely There.
That's a start, but...
Yeah, no, there's more you're going to have to do.
Yeah, one song.
You're going to have to send stuff. That's very important. All right, Bill Livingston joins us now from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. We were going to have Livy on yesterday, and all of us recognized, because Bill and I are newspaper guys, that the story of more import locally was Maryland, and it's of more import today as well because they reversed themselves. And I will get – in fact, I'm going to start with this. We're going to get to the firings of the Cleveland coaches, which interests me, but I'm going to start with this. DJ Durkin is not Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer had a circumstance. I'm not going to say it's the same because nobody died, thankfully, in the Urban Meyer circumstance. Nobody was beaten to death. But Urban Meyer very publicly was put on the shelf for a while and very publicly was welcomed back, a greater coach by far, but I believe a public liar. I believe that. I don't know if you do, Livy. And I just sort of wondered, what are the dynamics that compelled Ohio State or influenced Ohio State to say we're going to welcome him back when they could have said, as they said with previous coaches of great consequence, nope, they're done.
Well, I agree with you. I believe Urban Meyer did was untruthful. Well, he lied. He lied. And he deleted emails that proved that he was giving a false account of things. The reason Urban Meyer is still coaching at Ohio State is he's 82-9 in his tenure there. Yeah, they've won a national championship and two Big Ten championships. That's it. You know, they got insanely lucky when they fired Tressel. And as I look back on it, with the Penn State thing and the gymnastics at Michigan State and the Durkin thing, I know Tressel was fired because he lied to the NCAA, but it was, you know, free tattoos for memorabilia. It was like a parking ticket.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Urban Meyer's there because he wins at a school where the football coach had more accountability and one that was less fixated on winning at almost all costs. He wouldn't be.
So I guess I would ask this. Are we now hearing what sounds like the plan of an exit strategy from Ohio State by Urban Meyer? This talk about SIS, this talk about, oh, I will be back next year. When you float these things, Livy, no one is ever surprised if you make a decision to leave and go somewhere else.
Right, and it's reminiscent of the Florida case of how he left Florida in many ways. And also, you know, basically when Meyer was suspended for the first three games, Ryan Day, who took over the interim job, it was basically, you know, you can look at it as it was his job interview. I mean, they won all three, and they beat TCU on the road, which at the time TCU was thought to be a pretty good team.
That's right.
And, you know, I think in the circumstances in which they played them, it was still a fairly good win. You know, they've got a guy in waiting if Urban wants to leave.
Do you think he will?
You know, they got insanely lucky when Urban Meyer suddenly decided he wants to come back, you know, and they actually got a better coach than Tressel. Certainly, there's never been anybody at Ohio State, and I don't think anybody in football except college football, except maybe Newt Rockne, who's had this kind of record. Of course, he's not playing in the SEC either anymore.
That's right. I think Saban is the number one guy. I think Meyer is the number two guy. I think there's a pretty wide gap.
Might be the guy at Clemson now.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney.
Guy at Clemson at this very moment. Yeah. But, I mean, Urban is the third at worst.
At worst.
Winning a national championship with a third-string quarterback and knocking Alabama off on the way was an amazing thing.
And it's Ohio State where football is valued.
Ohio State as a Cinderella, which you don't see,
you don't see
almost any time. Yeah.
All right, let me move to the other things, the firing of Hugh Jackson and the firing of Ty Lue. In your mind, which was more surprising? Which was the one where you said, wow, now?
Lue.
Yeah.
Ty Lue, six games into the season, winning the first championship in 52 years, going to the finals 3 years in a row, saving David Blatt's butt by yanking him back to the bench when he was pulling a Chris Webber against Chicago in the second round when they would have gone down 3-1 if the refs had seen him doing it. You know, I respected Teron, but more than that, LeBron respected Teron Lue. They, you know, players respect players, former players, and he was much more contemporaneous with LeBron than Paul Silas, who was his first pro coach, certainly the first one here in Cleveland, the first pro coach he had. You know, six games is a ridiculously short time to give the guy a team without the great talent it had had before. They don't have Irving anymore. They LeBron left, and Kevin Love has struggled and is now out for a while. Dan Gilbert, he won a championship and he pays the luxury tax, but he doesn't pay it for front office guys. You know, it all started when David Griffin was allowed to walk away after they failed to defend their championship in 2017. And they didn't, you know, LeBron had hoped that they could work it out with Kyrie, and they traded him for an injured the mayor of Munchkinland, Isaiah Thomas, who was injured in some magic beans, and, yes, and right. you know, now LeBron's gone. And, you know, I put it all on Gilbert. You know, there was no question in my mind that LeBron was going to leave. Oh, I was 75%. I shouldn't say there was no question. But he has business and family interests out there, and he also was divided from Dan Gilbert on several fronts, you know, racially, obviously, culturally, politically, and he never forgot about the email. And I think he thinks Gilbert is a small man in stature and in his character.
What is the future? I mean, I thought Lou would be fired, and I think that Cleveland will win 25 or fewer games. This does not surprise me. At 0-6, it surprises me, considering the guy has a ring. But what is the future of that?
Well, they won last night. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Lou, yes.
Lou, what is the future of that franchise? I mean, he doesn't even want to pay. He puts Larry Drew in there as an interim and doesn't even want to give him any money.
Right.
What's the future there?
Yeah. I know, and I don't blame Lou at all. I don't blame Larry Drew at all because, well, the future, but it's still one of the 30 jobs in the NBA. And every coach has enough confidence to think that he can do it. Well, the only way Gilbert has ever really won big is the lottery, insane lottery luck. He inherited LeBron. He leaves and they get Kyrie Irving. Now, Anthony Bennett was a whiff, but it was not a good lottery year. And then they get Andrew Wiggins, which was just ammunition to get Kevin Love.
Right.
He hasn't put together a team. They, you know, when they get LeBron, then they can, you know, he's a magnet to attract other players to fill roles, but his team has never been put together like Wayne Embry did.
Let me go to the other
thing. He was the general manager.
Yeah. Someone will want to coach that team, but they don't have any players at the moment. I mean, they're looking at having to go back to the lottery, which is not a sure thing without LeBron in the lottery. Maybe some years it is. So Hugh Jackson, I didn't understand why the new GM Dorsey kept Jackson at all. But when I watched, and I watched about two or three of the episodes of Hard Knocks, which is a good show.
Yeah.
It's really a good show. It seemed so obvious to me that both Todd Haley and Greg Williams were trying to get rid of Hugh Jackson so that they could become the head coach. If it seemed obvious to me, it must have seemed obvious to everybody else. What did you make of that?
Well, I was stunned that he still had his job. He was 1-31. You know, the mocking Happy Hugh Jackson Day on January 31 this year. You know, I thought he was feckless and hapless and would throw players under the bus. And he was good at kissing the owner's ass, basically. And, you know, I don't know of any coach I've ever been around that more deserved to be fired than Hugh Jackson.
So why would you – were you at all surprised that they fired Todd Haley as well, considering the investment in Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
And were you surprised that Greg Williams, the second G stands for genius, was put in as the interim head coach?
Well, I've been kind of – I know it's been a long time since the New Orleans thing, but I was kind of sickened when they hired Greg Williams.
Yeah.
You know, go for the knee, and we don't apologize for how we play and all of this. It's a vicious sport anyway without that. And I'm sure it happens on other teams too, but, you know, that's whataboutism. It was terrible. I don't get it. You know, Haslam, he fired all kinds of guys, then he keeps this bozo, and then he fires the offensive coordinator. Actually, it looks like they finally have a quarterback, and it looked like it from the moment he got on the field in the regular season. Now, there's going to be rough spots, but it didn't make any sense. But, you know, one of the columnists, Doug LaMaurice here, I don't even know how tongue-in-cheek it was, but he said, just go away. Haslam, just go away. Go away, go back to Knoxville for a couple of years and, you know, bilk your customers in the gas, you know, at truck stops, and this, you know, let the Browns see what they can do without you. And I think it's a viable argument. You know, it's an interesting argument because I have no idea why he would fire. He said they weren't going to put up with discord in the front office. Well, you know, the discord is you, pal.
That sounds a lot like Washington, doesn't it, to people who have lived in Washington?
It does. It does. From afar, it looks like Dan Snyder to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Will anybody? This is the overriding question is based on Baker Mayfield. Whatever he learns this year, he may have to unlearn next year. Because I can't imagine that anybody's going to be back. Is there concern that this was the worst possible thing you could do to this kid, to fire an offensive coach and the offensive coordinator?
Well, it's certainly on the short list. And, you know, my reaction, you brought up Dan Snyder, and it reminds me, you know, I used to have to do Daytona. And I kept a little book that I didn't want the gearheads to see with me that was called Bright Yellow and Black. And it said NASCAR for Dummies. And I would take little peeks at it to look up what some of the terminology meant. But one of the guys, when Joe Gibbs was going back to the Redskins, and you remember he had his driver was Tony Stewart.
Yes.
Who was, you know, flamboyant and troublesome and a brilliant driver, but a lot of trouble. And the guy said, Coach Gibbs, Tony Stewart, and now Dan Snyder. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, why would you have done this? Well, you know, why would you fire Rob Chudzinski after 1 year when he had a lot of injuries with his skill position players? Why would you bring in Mike Lombardi, who was detested by the fan base and the media, and had a reputation as a snake around the NFL? Now, maybe that's overstated. You know, I know Belichick thought fairly highly of him, but here he was nothing but a front office intriguer. Why would you do a lot of the things that Jimmy Haslam's done? It's amazing that, you know, Brandy Lerner was so loathed as owner, and he ruined Aston Villa and the other football over in the English Premier League. But I actually thought that in some ways Randy was unlucky, because when you look back at when he made some of these moves, like, everybody thought Holmgren was going to be a good move. Nobody realized he was just going to be picking up his checks and heading out the door for his beloved beach and an umbrella drink, you know. But this guy has just done – nobody wanted Mike Pettine. Who the hell wanted Mike Pettine to be a head coach? They couldn't get anybody else. And then they tried to say, oh, his interview, we said, this is the guy. You know, I don't know how much he thinks people are going to buy here. It's not going to sell. The fan base was actually kind of getting excited, because you can look back and the Browns could have won many of these games.
Absolutely.
But they lost,
could have been 4-0. They could have been 4-0 out of the gate. All right, thanks, Libby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Talk
All
to
right.
you.
Thank you, Tony.
Bill Livingston. Like him.
He was terrific.
He's. Do you know that he was the Grantland Rice Scholar at Vanderbilt?
No.
When he was an undergrad. Yeah, no. At Vanderbilt.
Love
they
him.
Give that scholarship out to sports writers, and he got that. We'll take a break. When we return, we have news. James Carville.
In theory.
In theory, will join us.
But it's a big weekend.
It really is, because it's LSU. LSU,
yeah.
An unbelievable underdog for LSU at home.
Yes.
Even though Alabama's great. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
The box of awesome. This is the Bespoke ad. And it asked me to say that every month I get sent a box of awesome from Bespoke Post. Michael, do you get sent it? Because I don't get sent it.
I do not.
I
this
don't
is sort
get
of an awkward time to bring that up. You had a box of awesome sent to you.
And it was really good. It was
yes.
a bag. It was really good. But then if you want me to say every month I get sent a box of awesome from Bespoke Post, then I have to tell you, there are so many unique items that you'd never think to buy for yourself. And then it says, in your own words, describe the box of awesome items that you've received.
What would be in your box of awesome?
I've been meaning
not
to tell you.
Not continuing would be your description?
I got a forwarded thing. I set it up to go to my house.
See,
I'm sorry.
this is one of those.
So awesome.
This is one of the sponsors that we have who I think is extraordinarily intriguing. I think this is a very good idea, but I can't lie and
it's
say that
to
I
give a full endorsement.
Get this all the time. They have things like, you know, that they have stuff for like cigars, and they have stuff of clothing, and they have stuff of a sort of intellectual nature. I just think here's what I'll
like
tell you.
Like a dictionary?
Not like a dictionary.
Well,
no.
you sort of pick the
yeah.
the sort of category of stuff you want.
So I'm going to read this.
Get the chef
I'm going to read this. Visit, and Box of Awesome is such a great way to go. Visit boxofawesome.com and answer a few short questions that will help them determine the boxes that fit you best. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than 70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. The first of each month, you receive an email with your box details. If you're not feeling that month's box, skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars to weekender bags to classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. I am intrigued by this, but I, you know, they're going to get mad at me, but I can't say I get it every month if, in fact, I haven't gotten it. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter the code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code Tony, for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post theme boxes for guys who give a damn. And I think I'm going to start getting these now.
Yes.
Because I think somebody will listen and go, wow.
Maybe we should send up something.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sheldon writes, thanks again for playing our music. It's a huge thrill to hear it on the podcast. I'm actually heading back through town on Friday, but it's for my other project, which is, wait for it, Jewish pop music. I'm leading services in Fairfax, Virginia, as I do about once a month down there. Anyway, I wanted to bug you one more time to see if you might give one more tune called Come Close, which we're releasing on Thursday. This is We Are the Northern Lights. Normally, we like to wait longer between releases, but this one will be in the show Startup on Crackle, starring Adam Brody, Martin Freeman, Mira Sorvino, and Ron Perlman, which is being released on Thursday as well. It's our last studio release for a while, so outside of possibly finishing a jingle for you guys, maybe a bit before you hear from us again, We Are the Northern Lights. Nice. Michael, if people like this want to send in their original music, which is lovely, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles at tonykornheiser.com.
James Carville joins us now. He was almost 2-1 last week, but that late pick six by New England with about 4 minutes to go turned the tide in the Buffalo game. You must have been, and so he ended up 1-2 and 8-9-1 overall. You must have been feeling pretty good about Buffalo going into like the last 6-7 minutes of
he
the game,
it.
Right?
He had it.
They can't move anything. I mean, they played hard, but
yeah,
you know. Several matched them when they had been on offense, I thought.
Well, I've been waiting all week. Listen.
Now you need to speak into your phone.
Okay.
That's good.
Been waiting all week, James, to see if you were going to have the stones to do it again, because I did notice Buffalo getting double digits at home again this week. But the Peter man
The
is
Peter
back
man
in.
Is playing. You can't. All right, what do you got? I know you're going to have LSU and Alabama.
We have the best football weekend you can imagine. We have the best college football team coming to Baton Rouge and the best pro football team coming to New Orleans on successive days. I'll be at both. I'm taking LSU, and I'm getting 14.5, and I'm taking the Saints even.
You're taking the Saints even though on our line the Rams are getting
He's using
one
opening lines for both. Okay. That's fine.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, I saw even on mine.
Well, we're going to give it to you. We are. Okay. You're going to be at both games, so I need to ask you.
Wow, the local double.
I need to ask you, as an LSU grad, and Alabama's great, but is it insulting to be a 14.5-point dog in a Saturday night game in one of the toughest places for a road team to ever win?
I don't get that. If I win because they win by less, but I'm going to be disappointed to lose by a point. You can't go into these games thinking you're not going to win. And
right.
I think it's good luck. They got our best player out for half for no reason. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. But the biggest game in college football.
Yes.
And you're not going to see maybe the best defensive player in the country for a half. I mean, it makes no sense.
But you're going to see a lot of them in that second half, I'm guessing. He's going to come out crazed.
All the students are supposed to wear white. I think they're going to try to have a white out.
Support
of Devin White.
Cool.
That's a very smart thing to do.
Yeah.
It really is. That's a smart thing to do. This is the only thing. I was a little bit surprised on the first college playoff poll that LSU was 3 and Notre Dame was 4. But I figured that what they're trying to set up is that if LSU beats Alabama, they don't want Alabama to drop too far. Is that how you see that too?
I guess so. Although that doesn't matter right now. These college football seasons at the end. Somebody gets beat. Something goes haywire. It always does.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm sure that's part of their thinking. But I, you know, let's wait and see. Alabama
mean, the SEC, I mean, the big crime, of course, I tell you this before, we play Florida every year, they play Tennessee every year.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Tennessee has beaten Florida one time since 2005.
That's completely unfair. Do you have any other games, or these are your two?
I'm going with this, but I can't concentrate on anything else.
Okay.
This is the ultimate football weekend for me.
Good.
Enjoy yourself. Have a great time.
Make a money line parlay on those two. Try to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thanks, James.
Yeah, you bet.
Now, normally here, I would have news.
He's jacked up.
You do have news.
You have news.
I have news, and I want to get my special piece of paper
breaking
out.
News.
I'm going to tell you what happened to me yesterday. I was driving home about this. What happened to me happened at about 5:35 yesterday evening. It is still light at that point. I am driving north on Connecticut Avenue. I'm on about the 1700 block of Connecticut Avenue. And I'm stopped at a light. And I'm about five or six cars back. And it is that light where on the right-hand side Ruth's Chris is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Sure. It's that. I don't know what the cross street is, but it is that light. And I'm minding my own business.
So you've really just started your journey home from PTI.
Yes. Yeah. I'm four blocks from PTI.
Maybe R Street?
Maybe. Maybe it's R. I don't know. And I'm stopped. And bam! Somebody smashes into the back of my car, hurting my right knee a little bit, I find out this morning. Though in that moment, nothing hurts except I wonder what happens. And I jump out of my car. There's four lanes there. I'm in the second lane at that point, and I'm going to have to move over to the right to exchange information. I get hit from behind, rear-ended, and I get out of the car, and there's a woman behind me in a Subaru, which
right.
means that she
loves her kids more than you do.
She loves her kids more than I love my kids.
Did she tell you what gas mileage she was getting when she got out of the car?
I got out of the car, and I look at her. She's pretty young, maybe 20s, 30s, something like that, somewhere between 25 and 35, I think. And I look at her, and I put my arms out.
What are we even doing?
Like, what? Man. Yeah, come on, man. What are
so
we even
perfect.
Doing here?
That's what you should have said.
Honestly.
I say to her, were you on your phone? And she goes, no, I was not on my phone. So I say, okay, pull over. So we go over to the right so that we can park.
Give me your keys.
So we're in the curb lane. We go over to the right. And we, you know, I ask for her name. She gives me, I'm not mentioning her name here.
Of course not.
She is, it's an out-of-state plate. I get the out-of-state plate. I ask for her license. She hands me something, takes it out of a plastic bag. It's chewed up. She said, my dog chewed this up.
Well, here we go.
I couldn't make anything out. I went, all right, don't worry about it. I asked for her insurance company. I have her name and number and her plate and stuff like that. And she said to me, I was distracted. Not that I was on the phone. I was distracted. I had a bad day at work. And I said, I thought to myself, then hit me again.
Right, yeah, get out of your system.
Because you had a bad day. On the other hand, I had a great day at work.
Right. Yeah. Bad day going home.
Yeah. I mean, I was distracted. I had a bad day at work.
So she hit you like at speed. Like she
10 miles an hour.
Okay.
But I don't know.
But you've been sitting there stopped for some period of time.
I'm stopped. Yeah. I'm stopped.
So
it's
she was obviously texting
Subaru. 2010
100%
Subaru.
Looking at her phone. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing?
So how about, how about this tweet that I see last night? To at Mr. Tony says, just heard my sister-in-law rear-ended you today.
Really?
I told her to tell you I'm a huge fan of PTI and of your podcast. Give me a shout tomorrow and sorry about your car! Exclamation point.
That's fantastic.
Wow. That's great. That?
So now there's more to that's great. There's that's more fantastic. To my side of the story. We pull over to the right, and on the right-hand side, as you're going north on Connecticut Avenue, there's one of those bars that is sort of open. They're not sitting on the street, but there's no closed window.
Right, they can open their front.
And there's three guys sitting there. I get out of my car. They go, "Hey, Tony,
hey,
love
Tony,
your work."
Hey, this guy.
Hey, Tony, love your work. And this woman looks at me and she goes, And I go, "Yeah, I'm on TV."
I'm someone.
I will crush you.
No, I mean, she was perfect. Look,
thank God you weren't hurt at all.
She was perfect. Yes. Well, my knee hurts. Yes. She was perfectly polite. She did not try to. No, she was perfectly polite. I didn't get as much information as I wanted because, again, she said that her license, her dog ate her license. But
take a picture of it with your phone? Do you think to do that?
No, I don't know how to take pictures. Yeah. She took a picture of my car.
Wi-Fi.
She took a picture of my car. I then called her insurance company. And I spoke to someone. there, so I have a claim number and an adjuster and all of that. And they said, in fact, someone with that, not her necessarily, but probably a parent, someone with that name has insurance through them.
Okay.
Okay, so this is
did
great.
She her admit,
that's what, her brother.
What's the extent of the damage?
I'll
check it
it's
out.
It's minimal. It's not much. Thank God it's not much.
Did she admit fault?
Like, did she say, I'm sorry?
I did this.
She say, I'm sorry?
No. She smashed into the back. Did she admit fault? She smashed into the back of my car.
That's not how she tells it.
I mean.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, she was.
Now, I know you don't want
to. She was pleasant.
Is there any chance you were driving in reverse at the time? Is there any chance you were driving in reverse? She was stopped?
Did you make any comment about her Subaru?
No, I did not.
The kind of person.
It was running through my head.
Oh, my God. I
immediately called Michael and said.
It's the voicemail you never want to get from your dad. Hey, it's daddy. Not to alarm you. I was just in an accident on Connecticut Avenue going home.
Right.
Not to alarm you.
And of course, I try and call you back and you don't answer your phone for the entire night.
He
was rattled.
Did you call the house phone?
Well, I don't call the house phone after certain hours.
Okay. Well, if you called the house phone, I would have answered.
Now, I know you don't want to reveal her name.
I don't.
Can you just tell us, did it rhyme with Muth Frinsberg?
No. Give us her initials and her social security number.
So anyway.
Wow.
So that's...
But other than your knee, you're all right.
Were you calm?
I got a bad knee.
Tone, were you calm when you got out?
I
panic in those situations.
No, I mean,
I don't think you're calm.
She got out of her car and was not strident, was not unpleasant. You know, she knew she hit me.
Yeah, sometimes people get out there confrontational. They'll say, like, were you on your phone?
So it was
something like that.
I didn't say it quite like that, but the last time I got hit, somebody was on her phone. You know, and I mean, this is... So anyway, so that was my story. I have one other thing that I have to do for the great Bill Isaacson. I have to sort of walk back my hatred for Apple products. Remember I said I wanted to take my phone. I wanted to throw my phone, if I could, through a brick wall.
Yes.
Because I was blaming Apple for my phone
for your
not
inability
working,
to operate it.
But
for your inability to remember a passcode.
Right.
Apple.
You should thank Apple because you actually use their notes and you write down detailed descriptions. I am Tony. My Apple ID is blank. My passcode is my recovery email. You have all those notes in detail, but I already explained this. So I want to know if you're making this big move for Mr. Isaacson,
for Bill, I'm doing
what are you going to get out of this?
I don't know. Legal representation in this accident case?
Yeah. Legal advice.
I don't know.
Pro bono
like
work
that.
From Bill.
Absolutely pro bono work.
It's the only kind.
All right.
But,
so,
by the way, I do have one story I would like to share with you. Well, it's not a story we covered in the pre-show meeting, but I want to tell you the tale of Paulina Casillas Landeros, age 23, from Guadalajara.
Yeah.
She
med school there. Everybody I went to college with who didn't do well went to.
She is an HR intern and a tourism student. And she had problems with her family. They did not approve of her lifestyle, that she had a lot of tattoos and a lot of body piercings and all that, including something with a split tongue.
I don't like that.
Oh, forked tongue.
Ew, that's a commitment.
Yeah, serpent.
Annoyed that they didn't approve of her lifestyle, she decided that she wanted to do something that would cut off her ties with humanity and with her family. So she had an operation to remove her belly button out of spite.
How does that
work?
Yes.
So it's
I wanted to dehumanize myself in a symbolic way. I wanted to do something controversial. So she had the operation remove her belly button. But then she claimed the professional who gave me very bad advice on how to take care of it, so it got infected, but now it's better. But 3 years later, she actually regrets this. And she says,
How does one do that?
Well, now it gets
weird. How do you get a doctor to do that?
I'll show you the picture of this.
No, I don't want to see it.
I would love to see it.
I'd like to see that.
I don't want to see it.
But then it gets weirder because after she got the belly button removed, she decided that she wanted to turn it into a token of love for her then boyfriend, Daniel Ramirez.
Okay, we're done with this story.
Okay, Ramirez.
We're done now. We'll get out of here.
I feel like token of love ended
it. It's too much. It's just too much. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio and Chuck Todd making picks. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. There's no more sorting through the wrong resumes. There's no more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. And this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony, and it wants me to spell out Tony for you people who are idiots.
How do you spell that?
ZipRecruiter.com/T-O-N-Y. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, this is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is the Dave Clark 5. This is Because. It's probably this is a pretty good tune. Why are we playing this?
Because on this day in 1964,
because
Dave Clark 5 made the debut on TV in your United States on the Ed Sullivan Show, who after the performance said, you know what, these are a bunch of neat guys.
They were
groovy.
They were not the Beatles.
No.
They were as popular as the Beatles for an hour and a half. They were great looking kids, and they had a few good songs. The first one was Bits and Pieces, but they were not the Beatles. They were not, you know, I don't think you can hate them, though. They were just surpassed by people with a lot more talent, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's they were surpassed by the greatest of all time.
That's
right. That's not bad.
Yeah, but still a very pleasant band with some nice hits. And this one was off the third studio album called American Tour in 1964.
Okay, Chuck Todd joins us now. He had a really good week.
Safe to say, enemy of the people, friend of the show, Chuck Todd?
He's a friend of the show. He had a really good week. He was 5-2. Chuck Todd, now, you're making money with
Chuck
Todd.
That's what he does. That's what winners do, Tony.
25
winners, you're going to get so tired of winning. Though.
Chuck, I'm a little bit bored of winning right now.
Oh, yeah, I figured you might.
Yeah.
This is. I'm now looking at the line for the first time, and I'm seeing some things that surprise me enormously. So this makes me happy because we can have something to say about this. You ready to go?
Yeah, if I get too cocky here, I might actually try to call elections. But
we'll that would be a tremendous mistake.
Stay in your lane, buddy.
don't do that. Don't start calling elections. We start with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had a very good week last week. They still do not have Le'Veon Bell, but James Conner had a very good week. It's Pittsburgh at Baltimore. This is an actual rivalry. The organizations, I don't want to say they don't like each other, but they respect each other enormously. These are usually very good games. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. At this point, because Baltimore has lost two in a row, I think, and Pittsburgh is winning, Pittsburgh is a road favorite. -3 if you like them, Chuck.
Wait, you have Pittsburgh -3?
I do.
I wrote it down.
Ravens are -3.
Yeah, I believe it's Ravens minus.
Ravens, because I probably
wrote it down wrong.
Reset the board.
Yeah, you only have it that way because he wrote it down wrong.
Yeah, it's a grievous error.
Translated it.
All right, so
what language surprised you, Tony.
Okay, yeah, let's try again.
Your stenographer.
Is it in fact Pittsburgh at Baltimore?
Yes.
And Pittsburgh is getting through.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Okay, that's a little bit more in line with what I thought. Nigel's lines are ridiculous. Who do you like in this?
Well, look, if you're going to get... I'll take Baltimore +3. Can I do the Carvel rule here?
No, you can't.
Exactly.
No,
I'm shopping around. Is there anyone that has that?
Yeah, I love those Nigel lines. Those are really good ones. Yeah. This is... Baltimore beat them at Pittsburgh earlier this year.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken,
but Baltimore
right?
was better then.
Yeah, I agree. Baltimore hasn't looked so hot, which means they'll win this game. Look, on paper, you got to take Pittsburgh getting the points. They seem to be the better team. It's like me and I guess I got criticized for being all Hamlet-like. But I'm going to just take Pittsburgh on principle. But it's not one I would gamble real money on. I think this line is correct. I feel like it's about right. They'll beat the crap out of each other. It's probably going to be a one-point game.
Yeah.
Here is something that surprises me. Houston has won 5 games in a row. They won 5 games in a row. Deshaun Watson seems to get better all the time. Denver is foundering, I would like to say. And if Nigel has this line correct, Houston is +1
that is correct.
At Denver. That is a surprising line to me, Chuck.
Why is it surprising to you in that you think Denver should be a bigger favorite? Or
no.
Do you think Houston should be the favorite?
I think Houston's a better team now. A better team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is in. Now you have Denarius Thomas. So how does this work? He doesn't even have to. He didn't have to fly.
No, he stays home. Stays home.
To stay home, change uniforms.
Right.
He won't have to get used to the altitude. He'll understand how that works. Give me Houston. I like this a lot. I'm with you. I feel like getting points here feels like a gift.
Okay. Here's another one that's, again, surprising to me. If I'm not mistaken, the Los Angeles Chargers have lost two times this year, once to Kansas City and once to the L.A. Rams, both of which anybody would put in the top four teams in the league. They're going at Seattle. Now, Seattle has played better lately, but they play each other a lot. Well, no, they don't really.
No, they don't.
Because one's in the
anymore.
AFC.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
In the Steve Largent era, they did.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Chargers are getting 1.5. Maybe I shouldn't be. Who do you like?
This feels like a recency bias line because Seattle pounded Detroit, right, at Detroit. That suddenly a lot of people think, oh, maybe Seattle is good. I'm not buying it. I'm going with the Chargers. I think anytime you get – the Chargers are always good when they're getting points. It's when they're favorites that you start – you get nervous.
Off a bye, too, the Chargers.
Yeah. Off a bye. Now, that's three road teams in a row. You know you have this – you know what you're doing, right? Three road teams
in a row. I understand, but you criticize me all the time. I think you criticized me for this last week.
All he does is win.
No, wait.
All he does is win.
Is this unbelievable?
Scoreboard.
Is this unbelievable that somebody in the media would say, you're criticizing me? No, I'm pointing out to
Easy
you.
Easy there, Snowflake.
I'm pointing out to you.
The enemy of the people. Whatever.
I'm pointing out to you that you went road. That's all. Okay. Here's one. This is the line that I looked at and I went, really? Is this the right line? That the undefeated Los Angeles Rams are at New Orleans and getting 1.5?
That's correct.
And getting 1.5? Wow. That was like an eye-opener for me. New Orleans has played very well. The dome advantage in recent years has not been what it was many years ago. In fact, they were something like 15-10 over the last 3-plus seasons at home, which is a normal, if less than normal, home field advantage for a solid team over that period of time. The Rams are unbeaten, and the Rams were scared by what happened with Green Bay, I believe. I mean, because Green Bay could have easily won that game if this dope doesn't
run out of
the end zone. So what do you think on L.A. Rams plus 1.5?
By the way, what should we consider Rams home field and how is Vegas, the Rams play road games every week, don't they? I mean, that was a road game last week.
Yeah. Well, in effect, yes, in effect.
That was more of a Packer effect, I think, than the Rams. I mean, I'd
take your point there. The Chargers have it worse, I think, than the Rams do there in L.A. when it comes to that. I get why they made the Rams a dog, because the Saints at home as a dog would be, I think this is just about trying to balance out the money.
Right.
There's just a lot of good breeze bettors out there.
It was a pick. It opened as a pick, Tony. So the money is – the line's been bet up to New Orleans.
People like Breeze at home, Breeze in a big spot. You know, he like Rodgers. He seems to step up in big
– He does.
In big spots. But, man, the Saints – both the Saints and the Rams should have lost last week, and they didn't. Right? They both –
That's
or
right.
Was it 2 weeks ago, the Saints. I think I'm thinking of the game against Minnesota. They didn't play that well. And obviously the Rams could have lost that game. And defensively, the Packers figured something out in that first half. I'm still sort of shocked that the Packers defensively had a game plan against them. But I'm taking the Rams. You know, until they lose, it seems stupid to bet against an undefeated team.
Especially getting points.
The next game is Green Bay in I think, probably a desperation situation now after what happened last week. Green Bay getting 6 at New England. New England is a great team. There is no question that New England is a great team. 6 is a lie. Aaron Rodgers got 9 the other week and covered and would have, I think, tied and gone into overtime and maybe won outright. Aaron Rodgers, 12 against 12. Rodgers and Brady, the two best quarterbacks. Green Bay getting 6 at New England.
I feel like this is actually a low line. This is a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, it is. Because that team isn't that good.
No, it's not. And not only that, the team got worse this week. The Packers, after a great defensive effort against the Rams, thought the best idea would be to trade their best player in their secondary.
Don't understand that.
That was weird.
Yeah. Don't understand that.
They're claiming some locker room issue. Look, if this, as a Packer fan, if this is the beginning of getting rid of McCarthy, then I get what they're doing. And I'm starting to think that you're going to see more NFL teams tank. I mean, the Raiders are tanking, right? That's
I mean,
clear.
the Giants, that certainly looks like what trading Snacks Harrison and Eli Apple look like.
Picks.
Yeah.
I feel like we're seeing some sort of, like, you know, p- pick, you know, that whole, like, it's all about acquiring picks now in the NFL. I think the Packers might have a locker room issue and with these decisions, because it looks like they're giving up on the season. I'm taking the Patriots here. And if it's a blowout, this could be McCarthy's last game.
Wow.
Middle season? Wow. Middle of the season? Really?
I know it's an unpacker-like thing to do, but I think the new GM and the Packers coach and Rodgers, they just don't all see eye to eye. And if Rodgers and McCarthy don't see eye to eye, who do you think the franchise is going to pick?
They're going to pick Aaron Rodgers.
Chuck Todd would be in the mix for that gig.
Yeah.
I it's an easy job to be head coach of the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, what do you want to do? Go ahead.
Yeah. Tennessee is at Dallas. Dallas added Amari Cooper, had a bye week. Tennessee, a lot of points, 6.5. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota may not be who we thought they were. May not at this point.
And then we're getting Fitzmagic, right? We're getting Fitzpatrick as the starter.
Yeah, but that's not Tennessee. Yeah, that's Tampa Bay.
Oh, Tampa Bay. I thought this was Jameis Winston. Sorry,
Tennessee, 6.5 at Dallas, Chuck.
I don't get this line. Dallas doesn't seem to be 6.5 points better
this,
than many.
Chuck, teams. This line opened at 4.5.
It's
according
being
to
bet up to six.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it just 6.5 feels high. I get Dallas off a bye week and their brilliant coaching strategy. Jason Garrett spent his bye week though watching the World Series. I don't remember him. Didn't look like he was figuring out how to use Amari Cooper. That's too many points. I don't feel comfortable laying that many points with Dallas, so I'll take Tennessee.
Figures to be a low-scoring
game.
Because
they figure out ways to win games that you don't understand how they won them. This game's probably a field goal game.
I mean, is there any evidence that Dallas is good?
No. There's no evidence that they're good. Last game on the board, Atlanta getting one. Atlanta stinks. They stink. They have no defense whatsoever, and their offense, which was... got them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Once Kyle Shanahan left, it began to deteriorate. Atlanta's getting 1.5 at the Washington Redskins, who I think will be end their season 12-4. And people will say to me, what about the bandwagon? I'll go, are you people crazy? But anyway.
This is a no-respect line, isn't it, Gary? This is a no-respect for the Redskins line.
Well, it's hard to believe them because it's been a very long time since they've been good. You know, consistently good. I mean, they've won games, but... I think people think of Atlanta as a good team, even though, to Tony's point, they haven't been.
They stink.
But you talk about recency effect. I mean, you think of Atlanta as being a pretty good squad.
Who you got?
I think you're right. I think Atlanta's getting a little benefit of doubt here. The Redskins will have a problem if Atlanta scores more than 28 points. Like, I just can't picture Washington winning a shootout with Atlanta, and if Atlanta gets going. I'm going to take the Falcons here. I think there's going to be a little deflation in the Redskins bandwagon. And plus, I need to give the poo-poo throw or something to, he doesn't get to do his hometown very often.
So I need to, and again, this is not criticism. I am simply pointing
out. Analysis, Tom.
I'm simply pointing out.
Most orange-haired people talk to me with criticism, so that's all.
Okay. Interesting Alex Smith stat. I think they said this last week's game. He's now thrown eight touchdowns and two interceptions in the season. He has yet to throw a touchdown in the second half of a game. 5 of his 8 touchdowns have been in the first quarter. So this guy, after the first quarter, has thrown 3 touchdowns in 7 games, and yet they're 5-2.
You think there's too many road teams here?
I don't know there's too many. I'm just pointing out you've got 6 out of 7
Chuck,
road
you were
teams.
5-2, right?
Yeah, you were 5-2.
Hey, look, I will just say I think this week, if you notice, the better teams are on the road, and I think that it's a lot of this, what do you do when with these home teams, with these lines? And these are all, it's why Nigel picked them. These are all pretty tough this week, and I think it's because I think Vegas doesn't like when the good teams are on the road.
So we're very happy that the host of Meet the Press comes on and picks games and doesn't bother us with politics. We're very happy about that.
I don't bother you at all.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Can I just ask Chuck, who do you like in Ward 3, in the Ward 3 councilman's election in D.C.?
The last time I voted in D.C., I always voted, I think it was Straight New Mojo Party. The one time they had that. I didn't know what it was the first time I voted in D.C., and I'm like, well, I have no representation here anyway.
Right.
So.
What's the difference?
All right. Mojo. Let's go.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
All righty. I'm sure I bet just offended somebody there, so let me know when that happens.
Yeah. And if we gave you Chuck Todd, just Chuck Todd alone, of course that would be enough. But we give you more than Chuck Todd.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So what have we got?
Yes, it was a very exciting time over at the National Zoo. Reginald was hosting a very large Halloween party. Mm. Lots of gibbons were there, some of the gazelles, big fire pit, giving an old car. Now, instead of candy, he was handing out grubs, which I thought was an interesting thing to do.
Delicious.
Yes, and dressed, and you would be interested in, dressed funny. As Charlie Chaplin.
That's
was
great.
Very adorable.
11-12-1, Reginald, by the way. Just under 500.
Yeah, just under 500.
1-2 last week, 11-12-1.
Yes. So the first game we gave him was Denver giving one against Houston, that game at Denver. And he showed me an old news clip of him driving in the Paris to Dakar rally with Carl Mecklenburg.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I knew
it's
got to
be a pretty big car. Yeah. Pretty big car because Mecklenburg was a pretty big boy.
Yes.
Who was driving?
It was Reginald.
Okay.
But I think they,
Mecklenburg
you know, they,
in the passenger
yes,
seat.
Yes, they switch on and off. Sure. Yes. So clearly he likes Denver in that game. Now, the next game we gave him was New Orleans at home giving a point and a half to the Rams. And this was just a series of photographs that went downhill. Reginald on Bourbon Street eating beignets and then tossing beads into the crowd and eventually getting arrested. We're not quite sure what he was arrested for, but clearly he has ties down to New Orleans, so he'll take the Saints.
We've all
in
been
that
there.
Game. Yes, certainly we have. I think I've been there several times.
I don't think that any team is going to go undefeated this year, and since the Rams are the only one left, I think that they will eventually lose. But
do you think it's this weekend?
I'm just surprised they're getting.
They have.
I'm surprised they're getting.
The Rams do also play the Chiefs, I believe, later in the
year.
So
do.
These are the
that's
two big
that's
ones.
That's a Monday night football
Arrowhead?
Game. Ooh. No, it's in Mexico City.
Oh, right.
It's a Monday
so
night
this
football
seems
game in
to me
City.
Like the one that they lose.
Okay.
And, of course, the last game we gave him was the Redskins giving a point and a half at home against the Falcons. And this was a lovely little video he showed me on his iPad of him, Art Monk, Joe Jacoby, and Timmy Smith parasailing down in the Bahamas.
How great is that?
Now, and you have to imagine Joe Jacoby's
a big boy.
They really had to do some work. They had to do some work to get him up in the
kayak
air.
Kayak situation.
But it looked fantastic.
It's good to know.
So he'll take the Redskins.
All right. We will take a break. When we come back, we will have email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Stumbling, bumbling, fumbling, throwing interceptions. Don't care, take much more. Here goes a catastrophic. Receivers open, the balls fly over. Incompletion or turnover. Deshaun Kizer is the only friend to Nathan Peterman. Who cost the job of Coach McDermott. Can't win with Peterman.
Oh my God,
that is
replaced
brilliant.
By Anderson. Can't win with Peterman.
Fabulous. Sean Morrissey, Frederick Jones.
I mean, that is
great.
Truly
fabulous.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
I mean,
it's great. Fabulous. Luke will love that joke.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Bill Livingston, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Meet the Press host, Chuck Todd, and the great James Carville for coming on with us today and talking into his phone.
Yes, we love it.
Let me thank our sponsors today, Bespoke Post, SeatGeek, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Adam and Alexandria, my Brooklyn and sheets feel great on my bare buns.
Whoa.
Photo proof upon request. No, we're going to pass on that.
No, thanks.
From
breakfast. Carl in Oswego, New York. Oswego, New York, I believe, is where Al Roker went to college.
Roker.
It's almost time for this month's moon lesson. Let's try thinking of it this way. Every 24 hours, the moon does almost one lap around the Earth. It doesn't quite make a complete lap. So if you go outside each day at 6 a.m., the moon is going to be slightly more to the east than it was the day before. Yes, when I go out at like 5:30, the moon is directly overhead now.
Yeah.
It's not in the western
it's
sky
rotating
at all.
Differently.
Moon can't make
slightly
a complete
means
lap,
about
Sam.
15 degrees if you picture the moon going around a circle. So today during your walk with Chessy, the moon would have been a little bit more to the east than it was yesterday, yes, because it didn't quite make the entire lap. Eventually, of course, the moon will disappear completely during your morning walks, but fear not, it will return as this cycle repeats itself about every 29 days. It always returns for your morning walks just after the full moon. Hope this helps. Much love to Saliza and Nigel, as they seem to get very little from everybody else.
Boom.
From Dan Walsman in Damascus, Maryland. How Kyle Lauletta gets to work. Left, right, right, left, police officer, move out of the way. He's not going to start. He's a dope. Chris from Austin, Texas. Forget the sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd and the monkey. The littles need to hear Jeff Ma versus Kip Sheehan in a Royal Rumble. Let's see how Ma's analytics do for the winter weather forecast. I roll with Kevin. Eat it, Saliza.
Wow.
Kevin may have something to say about that, is all I'm going to say. John Boyer from Evanston, Illinois, where no business gets done because there are no strip clubs, referring to Wilbon's America. You were gracious enough to read my email on Tuesday's show where I told my friend and fellow little Aaron Pearl to shove it because he didn't invite me to his wedding. Well, Aaron heard this and has subsequently decided to extend an invitation to me. Since I am only 39 years old and not yet a man, I come to you for further life advice. Do I graciously accept the invitation, decline it, and let him know my scorched earth campaign will not cease because he was publicly shamed into inviting me, not respond at all, and just show up like a conquering hero? I think you gratefully respond.
I would totally disagree. You tell him to rot in hell.
Is that right? I would say, come on now. He realized he wanted you there, and you shamed him into it, and it's your big victory.
Show up late and complain about the traffic.
It's good. Somebody's
bring a
done
date
that.
That you didn't tell him about.
Rory in Cleveland. My brother texted me this morning asking me if I'd read Sally Jenkins' column on DJ Durkin of Maryland Football. I said no, but that I read Barry's column, and I thought it was hot fire. My brother responded, Barry was mild salsa. Sally is the ghost pepper. The two people you don't want writing about you, Ronan Farrow and Sally Jenkins. Justin Johnson, Arlington, Virginia. The Peter Man was quoted yesterday as saying, I'm ready to go win a game. Sounds like this is where he turns it around, if you ask me. Striking similarities to Aaron Rodgers saying, relax. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, how about this idea to get the Wizards out of their funk? Get Ovechkin could give them a motivational speech. Nobody can call you bleeping bleep, you're NBA champions. The difference is they actually are NHL champions.
Correct.
Yes, they are.
They actually are. From Eddie, Sally Jenkins destroyed Maryland in today's article. She's really the best. You guys should ask her to guest bartend. Well, she lives in New York.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, it's hard for her to get here. Sally, she did. She just, that was a flamethrower, wasn't
it? Oh, my
God. She didn't just kill the football.
No.
She killed the school.
School. Yes.
Killed the school. Sally, a Stanford grad, looking down on Maryland.
Good with words, Sally Jenkins.
Great. Bill Woods, Ocala, Florida. Mr. Tony, to Tori's small bird banging its head on the windshield. Honey, honey, Wendy, honey. That's very good. Andrew Hodgkins, New Market, Maryland. Does anyone else want to hear Sally and Barry read their columns on the Durkin issue like an audiobook? I'd pay close to Jaguar players in London-type money to hear that.
$46,000.
Sally, this is really good.
Could have been $64,000.
Is Jared Emick in here from Astoria today?
There he is.
Let's recognize Jared, who said he's here to chatter from Astoria, hoping the breakfast is delicious as the new She and Ma rivalry. You're out on your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them? They ought to be stabbed by cocktail food.
And Foley. Thank you.
I feel your heartbeat.